As a child in the early 1980s, I tended to talk with things in my mouth. Food, dentist tubes, balloons that would fly away, whatever. And if no one else was around, I'd talk anyway. This habit led to my fascination with the periodic table the first time I was left alone with a thermometer under my tongue. I came down with strep throat something like a dozen times in second and third grades, and for days on end it would hurt to swallow. I didn't mind staying home from school and medicating myself with vanilla ice cream and chocolate sauce. Being sick always gave me another chance to break an old-fashioned mercury thermometer, too. Lying there with the glass stick under my tongue, I would answer an imagined question out loud, and the thermometer would slip from my tongue and shudder on the hardwood floor, the liquid mercury in the bulb shattering like ball bearings. A minute later, my mother would drop to the floor, despite her arthritic hip, and begin covering and corralling the balls. Using a toothpick like a hockey stick, she'd brush the supple spheres toward one another until they almost touched. Suddenly, with a sudden nudge, one sphere would gulp the other. A single seamless ball would be left quivering where there had been two. She'd repeat this magic trick over and over across the floor, one large ball swallowing the others until the entire silver lintel was reconstructed. For a long time, I kept an eye out for element 80 at school and in books, as you might watch for a childhood friend's name in the newspaper. From that one element, mercury, I learned history, entomology, alchemy, mythology, literature, poison forensics, and psychology. And those weren't the only elemental stories I collected, especially after I immersed myself in scientific studies in college and found a few professors who gladly set aside their research for a little science chit-chat. Stories about Gandhi and Godzilla and scientists thinking they'd gone stark raving mad, about throwing blocks of explosive sodium into rivers and killing fish, about people suffocating quite blissfully on nitrogen gas and space shuttles, about a former professor on my campus who would experiment on the plutonium-powered pacemaker inside his own chest, speeding it up and slowing it down by standing next to and fiddling with giant magnetic coils. I latched onto those tales, and recently, while reminiscing about mercury over breakfast, I realized there's a funny, or odd, or chilling tale attached to every element in the periodic table. On a slightly more complicated level, the periodic table encodes all sorts of forensic information about where every kind of atom came from and which atoms can fragment or mutate into different atoms. These atoms are naturally combining into dynamic systems, such as living creatures, and the periodic table predicts how. It even predicts what corridors of nefarious elements can hobble or destroy living things. The periodic table is, finally, our author writes, an anthropological marvel, a human artifact that reflects all the wonderful and artful and ugly aspects of human beings and how we interact with the physical world, the history of our species, written in a compact and elegant script, even some science. So perhaps you were one of those many young folks who sat in science class staring at the periodic table of elements hanging on the science classroom wall and wondered what it could possibly tell you or why it was there in the first place. Or perhaps you were like me, fascinated by the secret coding this table put right out there in public that science teachers could read, but I, or you, could not make sense of, but knew there was much more that did not meet our naive eyes. The disappearing spoon may well have rocked my young world, were it available back when. Well, the subtitle hints at the wonder the periodic table holds, and other true tales of rivalry, adventure, and the history of the world from the periodic table of the elements. There is a touch of mystery in these pages. The mysteries that unfold before us as we gaze at that chart of numbers and letters hanging on so many science school walls. A real world magic translation guide that our high school years maybe began to unravel before our eyes. It's a promise, sometimes clearly stated, sometimes implied, that there will be more to say about the elements we discover in these pages. First, those noble gases, helium and neon and such. Or that vast plain that our author reminds us stretches right across the middle, columns 3 through 12, the transition metals. And what about those wacky halogens like oxygen and nitrogen, which are so darn reactive, seeking out electrons and thus bonds from other elements? The wonders of discovery are celebrated in these pages. It may have taken scientists over 2,200 years to define what an element is, as our author tells us. But once the men and women of science caught on to those electrons and protons and neutrons, the discoveries just spilled out. And it's notable that this is not a science book from the past. The struggles of women to be accepted by the scientific community as legitimate members of that intellectual community are documented without fanfare, but explicitly in these pages. Sure, today's book, The Missing Spoon, is not chock-a-block with in-depth investigations of chemistry and its relatives, biology and physics. And the book is empty of mathematical equations. But The Missing Spoon is a great example of a long-time contention by many librarians, including myself, that children's books, this is a book written with a younger audience in mind, are for more than kids. We adults, and teenagers too, can learn quite a bit from reading books meant for younger readers. And parents take note, the more gory and titillating aspects of the periodic table's stories are smoothed over for the younger audience this book is intended for. Though, as one reviewer put it, quote, "A fun read, although it includes dark history, which I just may have reworded and summarized while reading to my 10-year-old. This may not be an issue for other parents. We purchased some gallium and love having fun learning with it." End quote. Oh, and about that title, it's a good example of Keane's spilling the beans about an element on the table, the aforementioned gallium, without going into the sometimes not-so-nice details of why that disappearing spoon made the papers. Once again, a mystery about an element from the get-go, which intrigues and hopefully pulls us in as readers. Admirably, the true life stories that flow through these pages are infused with a very human touch. Each chapter offers tales of rivalry. Science is rife with contentious arguments, skeptical colleagues, and gargantuan egos. Never less than in the Cold War era of the last half of the 20th century, when Americans and Russians, along with not a few Europeans and even a South Sea nations lab, jostled and spit and snarled among themselves over who had the rights to declare their lab had just discovered or made a new element for the periodic chart, capturing young minds and older minds as well, with anecdotes that offer immediate relation to our own lives. After all, haven't we all come across skeptical colleagues, folks with gargantuan egos, and way too many arguments to make life just pleasant and smooth? Adventure in history. Let's note the strange story of tin that changes its molecular structure in cold temperatures in ways that may have led to the death of intrepid early 1900s British explorers as they sought to return from the South Pole. And perhaps tin aided in the destruction of Napoleon's feckless campaign against Russia in 1812. And then there's the story of the great William Rentgen, whose wife was so scared by the effect of the mysterious X-rays her husband had discovered that she refused to ever enter his lab again. And to keep those pages turning, Keane offers any number of intriguing what-if ideas that we can follow up long after we've closed today's book. For instance, did life on Earth start in bubbles trapped in Arctic ice? He wraps up our tour of the periodic table of elements with a call for scientists to take another stab at imagining the table we all learned to love or to hate. One clever modern periodic table looks like a honeycomb, with each hexagonal box spiraling outward in wider and wider arms from its hydrogen core. Or other versions have a hydrogen sun at the center of the table, and all the other elements orbit it like planets with moons. If aliens ever land and park here, Keene writes, there's no guarantee we'll be able to communicate them or explain our primary concerns to them. If they even understand concepts like love, religion, respect, family, peace. Perhaps the only thing they'll be able to grasp are numbers like pi and the properties of the periodic table. I want them to be impressed with our ingenuity in organizing those properties, and maybe, just maybe, for them to see some shape they recognize among our collection. Then again, our good old boxy array of rows and turrets with its marvelous, clean shape has served us pretty well so far. It has unlocked the science of everything from stars to giant shark teeth, from medicine to natural nuclear reactors. And there are still new discoveries being made in both the human and the scientific realms. The periodic table is the basis of so many discoveries in chemistry, in physics, and biology. And it's one of the few things we know of that's literally universal, something that even alien life forms would understand. But the periodic table of the elements is a very human thing as well, a treasure trove of all our passions and obsessions. And I'm constantly amazed at all we've managed to pack in there. The Disappearing Spoon, Young Readers Edition. It's great for any age, I think. You can find this great book at any of our fine local public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you very much for listening.